The lowest price in St. Louis. That's right. No one else beats our pricing. I guarantee it. We currently have the largest inventory of new Audis in our 40-year history. So visit us a half mile east of Lindbergh on Manchester or at ParktownAudi.com.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event, going on now, with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander zero-turn mowers. Click on StLouisKubotaDealers.com.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday between 4 and 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS, broadcasting live from St. Louis Home Fires, talking tips, techniques, and all things barbecue.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan and Ian are here with me. Colin Jeffrey joins us now to talk about movies and showbiz. And this segment is brought to you by Oreck, all over the St. Louis area with great vacuum cleaners and other things for your home, cleaning supplies, that sort of stuff. You can check out the new Oreck Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner, the newest in their line, while you're there. O-R-E-C-K, that's Oreck. Hi, Colin. How are you?
I'm well. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. We have a bunch of stuff to get to here. Sometime in this hour, we should probably do our predictions for the Emmy Awards, which are going to be on NBC on Monday night.
Yes.
And just make picks about what shows we think are going to win. They've already given out some of the awards. I guess they have a special ceremony a week before for all the technical awards.
Don't tell me.
And they throw in some of the acting awards as well, but not the big ones, not Best Actor and Actress and an Outstanding Comedy series, but so we'll do our predictions for that, and I have a couple of other things. But let's start with the movies. What have you seen this week?
Well, this week I saw the new Sin City movie, A Dame to Kill For.
I think you mean Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
We'll go for that.
Doesn't his name go on there? He's like Lee Daniels. You can't say the title of the movie unless his name's in there.
Yeah, because it's his graphic novels that they're based off of, and this is really an interesting one because it is a prequel, midquel, sequel.
What?
Yeah, there you go. So this actually takes four sort of vignettes from a couple of his novels and ties them all together in one movie. And they are occurring previous to the first movie, at the same time as the first movie, and then after the first movie.
Okay.
Sounds convoluted.
No, I think it's perfectly clear.
That's because it is. That's because it is. Let's start off here. Sin City, you may remember, released in 2005. So for some reason, you know, 8-9 years later now, they say, you know, it's a great time. Let's revisit this. Mm-hmm. And so they did. That's the first problem. First, Sin City was really well received. People liked it, made good money. I really enjoyed it. It got me reading those graphic novels. I hadn't dived into them before.
I'm sorry, that's correct.
Divided. And that got me interested in those.
Can I just stop you right there?
Yeah.
What is a graphic novel?
It's a comic book.
Okay. Did we start calling them graphic novels because we didn't want to look like kids?
That's exactly why. Adults can't read comics, can they? They have to read graphic novels.
Comics are Archie and Richie Rich and that sort of stuff.
Jughead, huh?
But aren't Batman and don't make me do dueling Archie Bunkers with you.
We've gone off the rails.
I mean, weren't Spider-Man and Batman and Superman, aren't those comics, not graphic novels?
Yes, and if I misdefine this, I'm sure I'll get an email or something. But the idea is it's something longer, has sort of a cohesive story, maybe. It just enables them to dive a little bit deeper into
some of
the topics.
Is it because the violence is more graphic?
Well,
in
some cases, yes. And that was the case with this. It's entirely black and white, really. There's the blood is very red, especially in the first one. And they use that again. That's what makes these movies, the first two, so much fun. They look great. It combines sort of an animated background with live action. It looks really neat and different. And in this one, they added a few more changes. There's just colors. They use blue very sparingly or red. And it really pops. It looks really cool. This is a fun movie. If you like to look at movies, mm-hmm. if you like going and watching movies for the spectacle, this doesn't have the big explosions, but this is just a really cool looking movie. And I don't say this often, see it in 3D. If you can handle seeing a movie in 3D, if it doesn't bother you, see it. It adds to it. It feels more like a comic. But you notice I'm not talking about the storytelling.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's this movie about?
Well, there's a few storylines. It essentially starts, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it. He plays a gambler in kind of our first vignette that's trying to take down a corrupt politician at the card tables.
Okay.
Not a great story. Then it moves on to that same...
That is graphic. I play a lot of poker. Let me tell you, there are a few things more graphic.
Well, man.
Are you all in? No, but I raised. Okay.
See those chips spilled all over the table?
Yeah.
But you get the idea. There's
red chips.
Miss Deal, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Then we move on. That same politician, he's trying to... He's being gone after by a stripper played by Jessica Alba, who plays the same character she did in the first one. She's going after him. He's going after her. Kind of muddled, but it's definitely one of the better stories in there. And then the final one...
They end up together, and they go back to the room, and they play gin, if you know what I mean.
They do not end up together. She hates him.
Okay.
And then the last one is sort of the Dame to Kill For. That's where we get Eva Green introduced and a character named Dwight that is this time around played by Josh Brolin. He's a private investigator. Eva Green's kind of a femme fatale, and he's in love with her. People are trying to protect him from sort of her machinations and the story. So it's sort of vignettes, which makes it bearable for the ones that are kind of really muddled. And you wish there was more of the, like, the Dame to Kill For, I really like. That's a really good story. I wish they'd had more to do with that one, but they don't. That being said, there's another really weird thing in this. When you do a sequel or a prequel and you have the same characters, get the same actors. Because the problem is, if you've seen the first one, you're already thinking of the character being played that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if the second person, Josh Brolin plays a character named Dwight, who's played by Clive Owen in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw the first Sin City, Clive Owen's character is great in it. He owns that role. And Josh Brolin's a great actor. He's not a great Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
There's another character, Miho, who's in it. Actress in the first one, Devin Aoki. They change it to Jamie Chung. You won't know either of them. But again, if you've seen the first one, you'll be like, this is just kind of weird. It doesn't feel quite the same.
The last name, Horny? Miho Horny? I crack myself up.
Yeah.
No one else.
All that matters.
She does play a prostitute. So.
Oh, well, then it fits.
Well.
Nice contextual comedy there, Dan. Way to go.
But Eva Green, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, they add a lot of energy to this. It's really good, but you can't get past the storytelling in this. It's just not at the level of the first one. So go see it. It's going to be fun.
Do you have to have seen the first Sin City to see Sin City 2?
No, they do a great job of reintroducing you because it's been 9 years. 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if there was 9 years between Star Wars, A New Hope, and Empire Strikes Back. No one would have watched it.
Imagine if there were 9 years between Chapter 6 and Chapter 1. That would be...
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine if there were 9 years between Godfather 2 and Godfather 3. Oh, wait. Yeah. Same. So, on a scale of 10, what are you giving Sin City 2?
I'm going to give it a 6, because man, oh man, is it just a lot of fun to look at and watch, and especially in 3D. I didn't see it in 2D, I only saw it in 3D. Go see it in 3D.
Okay.
Spend the extra few bucks.
All right, one of the other movies, there are two other movies that are coming out this weekend that neither of us have seen, but maybe you know something about. What If? And If I Stay. Do you know anything about those movies?
If I Stay is another young adult novel in which a less than cool high schooler ends up getting to land the cool high school boy, and she's in a car accident and a coma, and her spirit is looking back upon how this cool boy interacts with her comatose body in the hospital. Not in a gross way, but just kind of watching, and oh, if I decide to stay. And
not like that medical examiner or that guy at the morgue in Ohio that you guys were talking about a couple of days ago?
No.
Not that. The other one, no, I haven't even heard.
It's called What If. I don't know anything about it. But the one that I saw this week, which opens today, is a football movie. And we're kind of getting in football spirit. Rams are going to have their third preseason game tomorrow night. And they're in Cleveland to play the Browns. And I guess we'll get to see Johnny Football play in the second half there, right? Because Manziel's not the starter for Cleveland anymore. But this movie is called When the Game Stands Tall. And it's a terrible title. When the Game Stands Tall is terrible. It sounds like it's a 30-30 documentary on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be. It would fit in right with that. It is a movie based on a real-life high school football coach in California by the name of Bob Lattiser, who coaches a team of guys at De La Salle High School, who up until about 10 years ago had the longest winning streak in sports. I'm not just talking about football. You know, the New England Patriots had a 21-game win streak, and I remember John Wooden's UCLA team at one point had a 33-game win streak, and on and on and on. There have been others that have been up there in double digits. This high school football team won 151 games in a row.
Ooh.
So, you know.
That's pressure.
You have three generations of high school kids who went to that school, and their team never lost in that entire time. Until he has a heart attack, and the team changes personnel because all the seniors have graduated and the fall comes around and he has to rebuild. And Jim Caviezel plays the coach and does a very good job as the coach. Michael Chiklis plays the assistant coach on the team. Terry Idson, who was and still is Bob Lattiser's best friend. Laura Dern is in there as Mrs. Lattiser. I can't remember her first name. And they're all very good. But the show is a little bit like an extended episode of Friday Night Lights. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because I really liked Friday Night Lights, the movie, and then the TV show. I thought Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton were terrific on that TV show. But that's what this comes off as. The kids are all good. The football photography is good. I've seen some movies where the football photography is terrible and you don't get a real sense of what's happening. But in this one, it's pretty good. And I just want to play you 10 seconds of the kind of speechifying you get out of this coach, Bob Lattiser.
We're not asking you to be perfect on every play. What we're asking of you, and what you should be asking of each other, is to give a perfect effort from snap to whistle.
And there's that sort of thing. He's a really inspirational coach to these kids. He's the kind of guy who gets offers from colleges and has to debate in his mind and with his wife, you know, do I stay a high school football coach or do I go and take this job offer from fairly big colleges for, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. He's very inspirational. The kids are all very good in it. And there's one actor in there who, you know, you wonder when you're watching a movie like this, when you watch a sports movie, usually it's about the underdogs. Remember the Titans is a football movie about underdogs. Hoosiers is a movie about underdogs.
Invincible.
Invincible, on and on and on. There are all the Rocky, you know, it's all the, will the underdog be able to defeat the champion? Well, these guys, they won 151 games in a row, and then they lost one. And it's about him trying to get the team back on track. So who's the antagonist in this? Who's the bad guy? Is it another team? Well, there really isn't a bad guy, except that there's one character who's the father of one of the running backs. And the running back is close to setting a state record for scoring touchdowns. And the father is a little bit of a kind of abusive father who once played on the team himself and wants his son to do well so that the father can look good. It's all about making the father feel good. That father is played by an actor named Clancy Brown. Now, you have no idea who Clancy Brown is. I didn't either. I had to go look it up. But when I saw him in the movie, I go, I know this guy. Where do I know this guy from? Remember in Shawshank Redemption, You had the prison warden, and then you had the number one prison guard.
Yeah.
The guy who eventually shoots that other prisoner, et cetera. Yes. That's Clancy Brown. He played a really, really bad guy as a prison guard in Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. And in this one, he plays that same kind of over-the-top, rage kind of guy, you know, controlled rage. But in this movie, it comes out a little bit, and he's very, very good at those kind of roles. I don't know if he's been typecast in that since Shawshank Redemption, but I don't remember seeing him in other things. But he's very good. I'm going to give the movie a 7. You know, if you're into football and you want to see kind of an inspirational movie, it's good. I will tell you that last year on this show, I talked to a guy who was a coach down in Memphis now his name is slipping my mind, Bill Courtney, who coached a team in West Memphis, Tennessee, that was inner-city kids who, unlike the team in this movie with 151-game win streak, they had something like 130-game losing streak. And he went in there as a volunteer coach and turned them around. And it happened to be the season that a documentarian was there to do a movie about him and about the team. That movie's called Undefeated. It went on to win the Academy Award for Best Documentary a few years ago, and then Bill wrote a book about the experience, and I interviewed him on this show. I remember having him on. He was a great guest. Mm-hmm. He had amazing stories to tell. That was the sort of story where you were rooting for the underdog, and can this inspirational coach turn it around? Well, here's a winning team that turns into a losing team, and can the guy who's been the winning team coach turn them around again? Can he still inspire? And this guy, Bob Lattiser, is very much like Bill Courtney. And this is a unique position to have in American sports and in American education, to be a coach who teaches your players not just about the game, but about how to act in life, how to have discipline, how to treat people with respect, the sort of thing that in many cases, especially in homes with no dads, that sort of education is missing. They're not learning that in the home as they're growing up. And so guys like Bill Courtney and this guy, Bob Lattiser, played by Jim Caviezel in the movie, serve that role. And the ones who do it really, really well deserve all the credit because they're educators as well as coaches. So it's called When the Game Stands Tall. Again, it's a terrible title, but I give it a 7 out of 10.
There you go. Box office numbers for this weekend?
Yeah.
You want guesses?
I don't think either of the movies we described is going to be the number one movie this weekend.
If I Stay will be number one.
Oh, that's the teen?
The teen one.
Yeah.
That one's going to win it, I think. And then it's a race. But I bet we see Guardians, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Sin City all within about a million or two of one another.
Okay.
And any of them could finish second, third, or fourth, I think. And then When the Game Stands Tall, because there's nothing like it. And the reason I brought up Invincible is I was doing some research, putting these together, these guesses.
Mm-hmm.
Sony produced Invincible. And they've got another one here that they think they sort of sneak them in August, and they seem to find a home where they make they don't cost a lot to make.
Well, it's perfect timing because high school football is getting going. Mm-hmm. College football is going to get going soon. Certainly the NFL has started its preseason, you know, got a couple of weeks before that season starts. So,
and it's kind of sad because this is next week is the last week of the quote unquote summer releases.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Then we're into.
And usually movies that come out at this time of August, not so good.
No.
But
we got a couple all right movies.
Yeah, got a couple of good ones. All right, before we break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the Emmy Awards and some other showbiz stuff, there's one more movie-related thing I have to mention. There's a trend in China now that I do not think would work in America. You go to the movie theater now, and of course they always have those announcements on the screen to turn off your phone. No texting during the movie, no talking on your phone during the movie, etc. Over and over and over again at every movie you go see. Well, in these Chinese theaters, they're trying something different. They tell you, don't turn off your phone, and it's okay to text during the movie, and if you text it to this number, your text will show up at the bottom of the screen as the movie is going. Do you want to see what other people think about the movie as a distraction while you're watching the movie?
Now, of course I do.
Now, I will say that this is already happening on TV.
Mm-hmm. Tweets during the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rolling the tweets across the bottom. It even happens during news
yes,
events.
Yes, news, because you know, I care what, you know.
CNN has to tell me what other people are thinking about the news that I'm watching, because I can't form my own opinion there, and I've got to see what Janet from Dayton has to say about something.
If you get a name, most of the time it's Slappy, 1987.
Yeah.
Thinks that Biden should keep his shirt on. And you're like, oh, wow. So glad that's in the national dialogue now.
You're absolutely right.
I love Bieber, 4287.
Yeah. But you can also imagine how this would be abused by people. I don't know if the Chinese would do this, but I definitely know Americans would do that. They'd be calling out their friends in the movie. Hey, F you, Ian, you know?
Yes.
That sort of stuff would be on the screen.
I would hope it would disable picture messages because that would get abused real quick.
Well, apparently it's just text.
Good.
Scrolling okay. across the bottom of the screen. They say in a censored environment like China, they're taking precautions to remove sensitive or forbidden words. Who's doing that? You mean there's somebody at the movie theater whose job is to screen the texts and put them up there? These things are called bullet screens. Oh, you do geez. This in America, you'll find out the real meaning of a bullet screen.
Yes.
Think if you already saw the movie, you could go in there and text spoilers. He dies at the end.
Yeah.
He's a ghost.
This chick is toast.
Exactly. Rosebud.
All right, more in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's see how the highways look. Here's Tim Weiland.
Boy, they're not running very well. First of all, you've got a tractor trailer that's blocking the ramp from northbound 55 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Now, they do have a MoDOT truck that just strapped a chain to it, and they're trying to pull it out of the way. So traffic is backing up, though, almost to Highway 44. Now, it must have been an oil spill or some kind of spill on northbound 270 just before Highway 44. The two right through lanes are open. Two left lanes are closed. Two left lanes are open. Traffic is backed up approaching Graboy all the way down through this. You also had an accident on westbound 70 just past St. Charles Rock Road. The right lane is closed. Traffic is jammed solid now approaching Highway 170. Southbound 270, you've got stop-and-go traffic from Page all the way down through Highway 44. You've got some kind of incident also at Big Bend. And then if you're coming in or going out on westbound 40, things are running slow from Kings Highway through McCausland, 270 through Mason. You're also heavy from Long Road to the Boone Bridge. You'll also find a stretch between Highway 94 to Winghaven running slow also. This report is brought to you by LendUp.com. Need a payday loan? LendUp.com offers better payday loans with lower rates. Apply online today to get a decision instantly, and you can get your money in minutes. LendUp.com, your trusted direct lender. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
To midfield, to the 40, being chased to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house!
Get ready. We are just 2 weeks away as the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State come to Columbia to take on the Tigers.
Touchdown, Missouri!
Get every pass, every play right here on the Big 550 KTRS. We are our Mizzou.
A piano sale so huge it has to be held at the St. Charles Convention Center. Hi, this is Kathy from Lacefield Music. Kauai has repossessed their entire inventory of product from a large Houston, Texas piano dealer and has asked Lacefield Music to facilitate the emergency sale of each and every piano immediately. Every piano will be sold at rock bottom prices. In addition to the repossessed pianos, choose from pre-owned Steinways, Yamahas, Baldwin, Clavinova, and many, many more, all in one place at unheard of prices. Over 150 pianos to choose from. New Grands at $59.99. New Kauai Digitals under $800. Used pianos under $300. Everything may be bigger in Texas, but Kauai brought it here to the St. Charles Convention Center. Don't miss the biggest piano sale in years. Call 314-775-8902. 314-775-8902 for more information.
Sale starts this Thursday. Over 150 pianos to choose from. This Thursday through Sunday at the St. Charles Convention Center.
And mention you heard this ad on KTRS.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-616-7955. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-616-7955. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-616-7955. That's 1-800-616-7955.
Hey, listen up. If you're one of those people out there who has a mortgage with a balance of $200,000 or more and an interest rate of 4.5% or more, you can literally save thousands of dollars if you act now. The situation in Ukraine temporarily has credit rates diving, and you can take advantage of this through Stewart's American Mortgage Corp. And the best part is, no cost to you. All the paperwork, including the appraisal, will be at no cost. All you have to do is call Stewart at Stewart's American Mortgage. He'll take care of everything. Again, it's a temporary situation that can change at any time, totally dependent on the Ukraine situation. But it's a chance for you, the mortgage holder, to save thousands of dollars at no cost. You must act now. Stewart's American Mortgage. On the internet, StewartsAMC.com or call 314-324-4440. That's 314-324-4440.
American Mortgage Corporation, number 226715. NMLS, number 267-56799.
for a country club quality lawn next spring. Top Dress with STA certified compost this fall from St. Louis Composting. Top dressing your lawn and garden with compost now rebuilds nutritional balance in depleted soil, increases soil aeration, and improves the drought resistance of plants. Visit one of their locations on both sides of the river for an array of STA certified compost, soil, or mulch products available by the bag or by the truckload. It's the healthy, all-natural diet for your garden and lawn. St. Louis Composting is stocked to meet all of your fall lawn and gardening needs. Visit the location closest to you or order online at stlcompost.com. That's stlcompost.com. St. Louis Composting, enriching the soil naturally since 1992.
I'm Larry Connors. You know, for almost 40 years, I've been in St. Louis, building credibility and trust. Of course, no one just gives you trust. You have to earn it every day. That's what John Beal's family has done for 65 years. A roofing company doesn't stay around long unless it does the customers right. So I'm proud to represent the John Beal family. And when you need help with your roof, call John Beal, 1-800. New roof.
The St. Louis Art Fair begins Friday, September 5th in downtown Clayton with over 180 artists and more. For details, go to the events page at ktrs.com. He's back.
Don't miss the Dennis George Show. Well, wait a minute, that's me, live and local, with all the happenings in and around St. Louis.
The Dennis George Show, Sundays from 9 till 11 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
See, I've gone, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan and Colin all here with me. This part of the show brought to you by Oreck. Locally owned and operated all over the St. Louis area. Great places to get your next vacuum cleaner or cleaning supplies. And ask about the new Oreck Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner when you're in there. O-R-E-C-K. That's Oreck. Okay, some TV stuff to get to, including our predictions for what will happen on the Emmy Awards. But before we get to that, I have been a fan of the TV show Mythbusters, and I've seen every single episode in the 16 years that show has been on the air. Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman are the two guys who are the stars of the show. They're the A-team on the show, not the Mr. T kind of A-team, but I mean the number one team on the show, and the number two team, the B-team, if you will, was made up of Tori Belleci, Carrie Byron, and Grant Imahara. Last night, after the season 16 season finale aired, they tweeted...
Premiere.
Tori, no, oh, the finale. Tori, Carrie, and Grant are out. The show's official Twitter account thanked the three for their tireless work and wished them all the best. Carrie tweeted that the show is taking a new direction. That's what bosses always tell you when you're let go. I remember a friend of mine who was programming a radio station in New York. He took him from 16 to 1. Then they fired him and said, we're going in a different direction. He said, what, down?
Yep.
I don't know what the reason is that they're gone. I do know that Tori and Carrie have been with the show since its second season back in 2003, and Grant joined in 2004. And when I say season 16, it hasn't been on the air 16 years, but they used to do double seasons like Amazing Race and Survivor and other shows do. And I'm going to miss having those on the show, and I'm interested to see what Adam and Jamie are going to do to take up the extra time. I guess they're going to have to bust more myths. But I'm also surprised that with the success of that show, and it continues to be one of the most popular shows on the Discovery Channel and one of the most popular shows on TV, I'm surprised that in all those years, no one in Hollywood has said, we should make a dramatic show starring special effects guys. You know, there was a movie made in the late 80s, early 90s starring Brian Brown called FX. Not the FX network, but one night, by the way, I saw FX was on FX, and I thought, wow, that's a special effect right there. And it was about a special effects and makeup guy who... helped the cops, and I'm not going to go into the whole plot, but you should see it, by the way. Put that on your Netflix queue, FX. It's a pretty good movie. Not so much the sequel. But why hasn't there been a TV series about people like Adam and Jamie, who, you know, they build all the stuff they use on the show. They have to face a challenge. You know, can you make a lead balloon actually fly? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna try to crash these two cars together and get one to flip over and do the other thing. Well, they actually would try to design that sort of stuff. That would be a great idea, to have people with those skills helping to catch fugitives or working with a local police force or whatever it is. Don't you think that would be a decent sized show?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm sad to see them go. Do you remember several years ago, there was another member of the build team, another woman that got airtime.
Jessie was her name.
Yeah, can't remember.
She had a lot of tattoos.
Never know what happened to her.
She was not comfortable being on camera, was the story I heard.
Okay.
And stayed on as a kind of a consultant for a while. That's when Grant came on to the show. Mm-hmm. Because Jessie used to work with Tori and Carrie.
Carrie, yeah.
And then Grant came on the show the following year.
My favorite one they ever did is how much a van full of pigeons would weigh if all the pigeons were in flight. Trying to measure that. That was great. I love that.
They've done some amazing stuff on that show, and it is terrific. And the other TV thing I want to mention is that ABC has commissioned a pilot for a series based on a book by Colonel Chris Hadfield. His book, which I talked about on the show, is called An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. And if you don't immediately know who Chris Hadfield is, he's the astronaut who was on the International Space Station who did the video of himself singing David Bowie's Space Oddity, which I think has been viewed on YouTube a Google number of times.
I think they had to finally pull it. He only had permission for like a year.
That's right.
Or something. So I think it's gone.
Yeah, Bowie gave him the right.
I'm sure you can't find it anywhere now.
Oh, no.
That's how things go, right?
Yeah, it just vanishes.
It's gone from the internet.
So they're going to make a comedy about an astronaut returning to domestic life after exploring space, and he's going to be a consultant on it. I'm not sure that that's going to work all that well. His videos from Space Beyond Space Oddity were, he actually did some great teaching of science. You know, how do you make a taco in space?
Oh, tours of their sleeping pods and everything. Yeah, that was great.
They also did one where they had a washcloth that was completely wet, and it was what happens when you wring out a washcloth in space, and you would think, well, the water just goes everywhere. And he showed that if you do it, actually the water just kind of clings to the washcloth and becomes this giant clump of water. He was very clever and did some great stuff. I'm not sure that this is the vehicle for him to move forward, but I will tell you, if you haven't read that book yet, I didn't read it either. I got the audiobook version. So here he is in his Canadian accent telling you what it's a boot. the whole way through. He's a really good storyteller about his career and about all the stuff he went through and training in Russia to go up with the cosmonauts to the space station. Really, really fascinating. Chris Hadfield is his name.
I just hate how there's consultants for every... He's going to be a consultant on that show. Maybe he'll add something, but it doesn't seem like there's a huge need.
Well, you need a technical consultant to be able to say, well, that's not how we would do it. Like the Big Bang Theory has scientific consultants who go in there and say, well, okay, here's what Sheldon should say. Because they'll write, I read a thing that Alan Alda once wrote about MASH. And he was asked, you know, how did you remember all the medical jargon? He said, well, it was awfully tough because first we would get the script and it would say, so-and-so has, and there would be a blank disease. And the cure for that is blank. And they would hand it to their technical advisor, some doctor who would come in and say, oh, okay, well, let's try this. What do you want him to do? Okay. Does he twitch? No, we don't want him to twitch. Okay. So they would fill that stuff in. And it's the same thing on the Big Bang Theory. They say, and then Sheldon says, and there's a blank page. We'll get back to you on what Sheldon says later after the scientists have had a chance to look at it. And that's why you would want the astronaut to consult on your show if you're making that.
I guess. I just know Seinfeld never needed a consultant. It's not like, hey, we need a Yahoo or Yoo-hoo consultant.
I think Larry David provided us all the role of the consultant on that show.
I've got a quick TV note. We've got an anniversary here coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
A word entered the American lexicon that existed before, but it was thrust upon us.
Tell me the year. I'll see if I can guess.
Last year. It will be 1 year ago this Monday. Last year, we heard...
It was not Kardashian. I know that.
Nope.
Last year, we heard a word for the first time.
It became popular last year. Twerking.
Oh, I was going to almost say
the
twerking.
The VMAs are on this weekend. So Miley you can Cyrus see what crazy and, stuff they get up to this weekend on Sunday. But twerking. August 25th, 2013.
Okay.
There you go.
Monday night, the Emmy Awards will be on. And as I mentioned earlier, they've already handed out some of the awards that are not going to be part of it. Like Allison Janney won for Guest Actress in a Drama Series for Masters of Sex. Jane Lynch won for hosting Hollywood Game Night in the reality competition category. The Colbert Report won for outstanding writing for a variety series. Jimmy Fallon won for guest actor on SNL. It's funny, when he was on SNL, never won an Emmy Award. When he went back and hosted, he...
Well, I guess if you're getting that for The Tonight Show, now you can win.
Yeah, well, he hasn't won for The Tonight Show yet. We'll see if he does on Monday night. Also, the woman who plays Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black, her name is Uzo Aduba, she won for guest actress in a comedy series. And I went through this, and Orange is the New Black is nominated for comedy series.
Yes.
I've watched a few episodes of that show. There's nothing funny about that show. Now, there are things that are supposed to be comedies that are funny.
We had the conversation with Frank. Yeah. They thought they could win awards. And so I guess there's no qualification.
They can just pick whatever category.
Oh, you're going to be in this. We're going to be over here. That's why you saw more miniseries entered this year, because they didn't want to compete against Breaking Bad. They're like, we know we're not going to win. Let's move over to miniseries.
Oh, you're right. And the show that we all love so much, Fargo, which had 10 episodes, is in as a miniseries this year against American Horror Story, Bonnie and Clyde, Luther, Tremé, and The White Queen.
Luther should not be on there. That is many seasons now of Luther. That's not the first season of Luther.
Every time I hear Luther, I think of the ghost in Mr. Chicken with Don Knotts.
Attaboy, Luther!
That's what he's talking about, too. It's been on all these years, and you haven't watched it, Dan. All right, so outstanding comedy series, Orange is the New Black, is up against Big Bang Theory, Louie, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, and Veep. I think Veep won last year. But I don't know.
Mm-mm. Modern Family is going for a record-setting win. If it wins this year, it'd be the first one to win six in a row, I believe.
Really? Do you think it'll win?
I hope not. I'm pulling for Silicon Valley, but I'm fine with Louis Veep or Silicon Valley.
There's no way Silicon Valley is going to win. I like the show as much as you did, and you and I have talked about it off the air, but there's no way it's going to win against that competition.
No, but I'm pulling. That's same a problem. I'm horrible at predicting these things. I go with my heart.
I know. Same with Louis. We're all fans of Louis, although I did not think this season was that good except for the Fat Girl episode. Which should win an award just for being so good.
It's nominated for writing and directing, I believe.
That one?
That episode, I believe, is directing. Well, maybe that's writing.
You have to submit an episode of your show. Maybe if they watch that, then it has a chance of winning. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was very good. But I got to think this is coming down to Modern Family and Big Bang Theory again.
Oh, see, I think Veep might win because that keeps building every season. There hasn't been a letdown yet with that show. Do you watch it?
Yeah, no, I watched a couple of episodes of Veep and I didn't like it.
It's a slow burn. You got to get into it, but then when you start, the characters really, I love the characters on that show a lot.
Yeah.
And she's great. It's by far the
I like her a lot.
Post-Seinfeld, it's the most successful and best any of them have been.
I even liked Julia Louis-Dreyfus when she was 20 years old on Saturday Night Live and just doing goofy stuff there.
I think she's hot.
I would not disagree with you.
Yeah.
That cover of Rolling Stone where she had the Declaration of Independence tattooed on her back.
Oh, yeah.
Judging by her body of work, is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well said. All right, so then what do you think will win for drama series? You got Breaking Bad's final season, which actually aired last summer, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Mad Men, and True Detective.
Okay, a few things. First of all, it's important to realize Game of Thrones, I believe, this is now a full season behind us again. This is one that aired last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Red Wedding episode everyone talked about, I believe, is involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think Breaking Bad's a juggernaut, and if it's up for something, it wins. Everyone's going to say thank you this year.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Did it win last year?
I believe it finally broke through and won, but not all the actors won. Like Aaron Paul didn't win.
Well, but Bryan Cranston won last
year. I think everyone who's anything with Breaking Bad wins this year if it's up for it.
Mm, I disagree. I think the show can win, and I think Bryan Cranston might win again. I don't think the others will. Outstanding variety series. You got Saturday Night Live. How it gets on that list, I have no idea because there's nothing outstanding in that show. Usually when it's on, I'm outstanding in the other room. you got Jimmy Fallon, Bill Maher, Jimmy Kimmel, The Daily Show, and The Colbert Report.
Colbert's my pick. I think it gets one more year.
You don't think The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon has proven itself in just 6 months to really have taken off and set a new standard in late night? By the way, gangbuster ratings for that show continuing.
And I think Jimmy Fallon gets it.
That's great, but I think the reason Daily Show and Colbert win is because it doesn't just make you laugh, it says something else. And that's Jimmy Fallon doesn't do that, and that's fine. That's not what he sets out to do, but Colbert Report and Daily Show get you at least thinking about something else.
I will predict that next year, the show that we'll be talking about in that category will be the John Oliver Show, Last Week Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Which is on Sunday nights on HBO and is phenomenal.
It's great.
It's better than all those shows that we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Any chance that Jim Parsons does not win for Sheldon on Big Bang Theory in Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series?
Is Louis up for that? I can't remember.
No. It's Ricky Gervais for Derek. Matt LeBlanc for Episodes. Don Cheadle for House of Lies. That's another show that's not a comedy.
No.
But it's in a comedy series category. I'm sorry, Louis C.K. is in there, and William H. Macy for Shameless, another non-comedy.
They went there because they knew they couldn't win in drama.
I guess.
Man, it's tough. If he doesn't win, Louis wins, I think. But I don't see how he doesn't win again. That's kind of a softball group going up against there.
I agree.
They throw those dramas in there in the comedy category when they're not really comedies.
Because as Colin was saying, when you produce the show, you decide what you want to submit for.
So they could have submitted Seinfeld against ER every year as a drama.
I've already submitted tapes of this show for Best Country Overnight.
I think we take it.
Marconi's, here we come.
And then what else do we have to mention here? Both Martin Freeman and Billy Bob Thornton are nominated for Fargo for Best Lead Actor in a Miniseries. Everybody on this show loved that show a lot, although I think Benedict Cumberbatch might win for his work on Sherlock. And other categories, Lead Actress in a Comedy Series, you got Lena Dunham, Melissa McCarthy, Edie Falco, Taylor Schilling, Amy Poehler, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That is a stacked category. Amy Poehler.
I get it. It's stacked. I get it.
Amy Poehler has to win. Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. If one of them don't win, they're the two funniest women at everything they're at, every event. One of them has to win. I'd like to see Amy Poehler finally win for that because there's only one season left.
I don't think she's going to win. I think it's going to be Julia Louis-Dreyfus again. And what about for the drama series? You know, you talked about wanting to avoid the drama series. That's a stacked category as well for the men. Bryan Cranston, Kevin Spacey, John Hamm, Jeff Daniels, Woody Harrelson, and Matthew McConaughey. Both of those guys for True Detective.
Anyone could win. I don't see any way Bryan Cranston doesn't.
I don't either.
And that's a shame because Matthew McConaughey was unbelievable in True Detective.
And on the women's side, you've got Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey, Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife, Claire Danes from Homeland, Robin Wright, House of Cards, Lizzie Kaplan, Masters of Sex, Kerry Washington, Scandal.
I think Robin Wright wins it. House of Cards.
I think Juliana Margulies. We'll see Monday night, and we'll talk about it again next week. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
It's 4:55 at the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's check traffic. Here's Tim.
Some of the highways quite a mess on westbound 70 before 270. Still working with that crash that has the right lane blocked. Traffic is jammed back to Bermuda. Southbound 170 past Ladue, a crash with the left lane blocked. Westbound 44 before Highway 270, the left lane blocked due to an accident there. On northbound 270, they've cleared those two right lanes just before Highway 44. You still have a slowdown from Graboid through 44, but that is starting to break up a little bit. And southbound 270, stop and go traffic Ladue through Highway 44 and St. Charles Rock Road west of 170, a crash there. This traffic report is brought to you by LendUp.com. Need a payday loan? LendUp.com offers better payday loans with lower rates. Apply online today to get a decision instantly, and you can get your money in minutes. LendUp.com, your trusted direct lender. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Big 550. Online. On demand.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
There's nothing like a delicious, high-quality restaurant steak delivered to your home from Kuna Food Service. Prices are reasonable, and it's perfect as a gift anytime. Kuna Food Service. Online at SteakGift.net.
Hi, this is Jim Holder. If you're in the market for a truck, SUV, or crossover, let me recommend my friends at Broadway Ford Truck Sales. Broadway Ford is a one-stop, full Ford truck, SUV, and crossover dealership. They can help you with all of your retail and commercial vehicles. Broadway Ford Truck Sales has been earning your business for over 50 years at the same location. If you never used Broadway Ford, give them a try. They have a state-of-the-art service and parts department. And if you need to lease or rent a vehicle or truck, call Jim Cavanaugh. His staff has what you need. Broadway Ford Truck Sales is a business-preferred network located downtown at 1506 South 7th Street. You can reach them. Call 314-241-9140. That's 314-241-9140. Or at BroadwayTruck.com.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event, going on now, with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander zero-turn mowers. Click on StLouisKubotaDealers.com.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limpress and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or get their app for your smartphone at STL Taxi. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Well, Kobe Bryant turns 36 years old on Saturday. His family has planned a very small party. Apparently, they're inviting Lakers teammates who've passed the ball to. Small group of guys. And a high school in Indiana is requiring every student to buy an iPad instead of using textbooks, which is nothing. In China, they require every student to make an iPad instead of using textbooks. There's a Chinese 5-year-old, been in the news for a couple of years. He's very overweight. At 5 years old, he's 150 pounds.
Wow.
That's insane. 150 pounds. God, the Chinese are even beating us in fat kids now.
Oh, man.
Can't win. 5-year-olds weigh 150 pounds, usually in the tank at SeaWorld. But And finally, this man. Fighting humor today.
That's good.
And a man in New Zealand chased by a shark while he was kayaking for the first time. Or as he now calls it, kayaking for the last time. The public segment brought this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company at downtown St. Louis. I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great weekend. By the way, Bill mentioned Kobe Bryant and the L.A. Lakers. I see that the L.A. Clippers are back in the news now, and so is Donald Sterling, because V. Stiviano, who we all thought was his girlfriend, says, no, I never had sex with him because he's gay.
I was his beard.
I was his beard, yeah. She says.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. And at that moment, Harvey Levin at TMZ's head exploded.
Thank you.
It's all coming together. We have a half hour for tonight. The Harris Challenge follows the 5 o'clock news, then Mike Evans, then Knuckleheads in the News. You don't want to go anywhere. It's 5 o'clock now at the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.